Welcome to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. Well, it's Friday. Let's check in with our political commentators at the top of the show here. We are joined by John Selleck. He is CEO of Lansing public relations firm Harbor Strategic. He was communications director for two Republican attorneys general and worked in Michigan governor offices and legislature. He's also been involved in Republican political campaigns, including the role of Michigan director of the Mitt Romney presidential campaign. Vicki Barnett is former mayor of Farmington Hills and is a former Democratic state legislator. Welcome to both of you. Let's get started with this. Last legislative session, lawmakers adopted a couple of citizen initiatives headed for the ballot. They would raise the minimum wage and require paid sick leave. Then the legislature changed them, phasing in a minimum wage over a much longer period of time, reducing the sick leave time, and exempting employers with fewer than 50 employees. Those laws are going into effect at the end of next month. The people who organized the ballot initiative say what the legislature did in its adopt and amend maneuver was unconstitutional. Republicans now want the Michigan Supreme Court to give them an advisory opinion on that. The Democrats want the Attorney General to offer an opinion. So, Vicki, what do you make of these requests?
Well, I think they're all fair, but this is still going to end up in litigation, no matter what the opinions happen to be. The Constitution is very silent on whether the legislature can adopt and amend, but is very clear on if the citizens adopt it, the legislature can't touch it until the next legislative session. So it's an open question, and I think eventually it's going to end up in the Supreme Court for litigation, not just for an advisory opinion.
John, your former employer, Bill Schuette, issued an opinion last year which said adopt and amend was legal, but that reversed an opinion issued by a previous attorney general. Could that reversal be reversed again?
Well, listening to the way you just described it, let me say my talking point that this is a big game of chess is more accurate than I thought. Look, we've got smart folks on both sides. The governor and her team are very smart. The legislative leaders, Shirky and Chatfield, are very smart. And they're playing a game of 3D chess, and they're playing for keeps. And why is that? It's not just a power grab. It's a policy battle. The two sides are definitely spread far apart on the issue of the economy here. The Republicans and the business leaders with those folks want to keep the gains of the last 8 years moving forward. The Democrats want to see the pendulum swing in a different direction. On top of that, this pressure that's coming down from the national side. It used to say that all politics was local. Now all politics is becoming national, and we've never seen a more polarized, nasty drag-out fight that's taking place at the national level. That pressure is coming down here. In this instance, I'd probably say the institution of the governor has the advantage. She's a single statewide voice versus many voices of many legislators. Shirky and Chatfield are doing a very good job trying to stay unified and as a voice back against the governor. But, you know, the other advantage the governor has is, as you just mentioned, she's got the attorney general on her side. And I'd say the legislature looking for an opinion from the Supreme Court is a strong indication they don't feel the attorney general is going to go their way.
We talked for a while last Friday about the Department of Environmental Quality restructuring that was proposed by Governor Gretchen Whitmer and turned down by the legislature. Since then, Whitmer's introduced a new plan. How much has this rift been about substantive policy differences, and how much of this is about politics and power? Vicki?
Well, it all comes down to policy in the end, whether it's about power or not. And in this case, the addition of industry panels to oversee decisions made by the Department of Environmental Quality really hurts the ability of the department to make policy that goes in the direction of protecting the environment. And I think that the governor did the right thing right now by proposing a reorganization and leaving those panels in place. She's going to have to learn how to deal with them because they were passed by legislation last term. But she can require that the legislature deal with specific rules regarding those panels to make sure that they meet on time in a timely fashion, that there's an appeals process in place, which would go to an administrative law judge, and to see if that can be done on a timely manner. So I think she's showing right now that she's willing to work with the Republicans in the House and the Senate, and she sent a clear message that she still wants to reorganize the department. And so I think this was a good move on her part. I hope the legislature takes that as an olive branch and begins to work more closely with her.
the governor's team is smart, and they attempted to exercise their power. They didn't do two separate EOs, where they could have put one with the general reorg of the departments. I don't think the legislature would have had any problem with that. And then a separate one covering the battle over these panels. And she knows that they were going to oppose that. And so she put it all into one to see if she could use rhetoric that would make them look like they were against clean water. And it didn't work. And this is – that's all right. This is a good process for each side to see that they're willing to use all the levers of power. Like I said earlier, it is a big chess game. And actually what's encouraging to me, it's been a war of wits in using the rules. It's not been a war of words. And that's a plus for what the relationship's going to be going forward. And I think they're looking ahead. And if I really generalize, Lester, and said that all policy legislation is going to go into two buckets in this divided government era, one bucket's going to be all the areas where they don't really agree and there's likely to be some battles back and forth. I don't call them fights because I don't see this as having been a fight yet. The other bucket is going to be some issues where they are on the same page as far as they need to get something done. They need to finish this legislative session saying, I accomplished something for the voters. The governor doesn't want to go through the first 2 years of her term and not have accomplished something on roads. So in that bucket of getting done things that have to get done, I would say roads have to be in that bucket for absolutely sure. I could probably also throw in skilled trades and auto insurance. Those are things that have to get done. So they are reserving the war of words thus far because they know they still need to come together and find answers on those other issues. The other part that's the clock is ticking loudly. It used to be you could pass legislation in the quote off year and that not a whole lot got done in the election year. The problem is with the presidential year and the way that all politics is now national, Elizabeth Warren jumped into the presidential race in December 27th.
Yeah, there's no off year anymore.
There is no year. The clock's ticking. So they may only have until the end of the summer or the beginning of the fall to get any of these things done.
Let me switch up topics on you. The Citizens Research Council of Michigan came out with a report this week which suggested we could be facing a teacher shortage. In part, the report said, quote, enrollment in teacher prep programs in Michigan colleges and universities has been falling for some time by 66% over the recent seven-year period. This is compounded because the number of program completers and the number of individuals who obtain state certification in specific subject areas are down as well. Vicki, what should elected officials do with that information?
They should stop demonizing teachers. That's been a real problem for the last decade. Once we hit the economic downturn, the legislature decided it was fine to go in and start to micromanage the education field and gut teachers' pensions and health care plans and make it very difficult for teachers to do their jobs by turning them into test providers instead of educators. And nobody wants to work necessarily in that kind of environment. Then you had added to that cuts in the education budget going forward, a lower per pupil funding level, the addition of charter schools, which didn't require the same pay level, and all the while you still have teachers who have to get master's degrees. Well, if you're a student and you want to go into education, and the real shortage is in STEM education, and you're going into the sciences, you're much better off getting your degree, your bachelor's degree, and then your master's degree, which is required eventually as a teacher, and go into the private sector and earn way more money without all of these micromanaging hassles. And that's where the problem comes in. When we made it so difficult for teachers to teach and still required them to pay for their master's degree in order to keep their teaching certificate, we gutted their pensions and we gutted their salary, and then we went after their health care, the benefits no longer outweighed the working environment. And so we are looking at a teacher shortage, especially in the STEM fields with science, education, math, and engineering. And those people are going into the private sector where they don't have any of these other problems. And when we say that somebody starts out at a salary of $36,000 and then eventually goes up to $67,000, which is the average for a teacher after several years, $67,000 is way lower than an engineering scientist can make in the private sector. And that's where the problem comes in. We have priced teachers, those good students, out of the teaching field. And we have to find a way to lure them back by increasing their options, their benefits, lowering the per pupil count in a classroom, and making sure that we value teachers as the professionals that they are.
John, what would you advise legislators or the governor to do about potential teacher shortages?
Well, going hand in hand when you read about this topic online right now, what's even more scary to me is the loss of students that we're seeing declining enrollment. across the board. And that's a huge problem for Michigan going forward, is just even having the people to grow our economy and grow our state. But frankly, in the bigger picture, it's not just the legislator's job. It's everybody's job. It's that important. Education equals a successful state and a growing Michigan economy. It's going to be the job. Everyone's going to have to pitch in. The universities are going to have to market more attractive educational opportunities for teachers. Administrators are going to have to ensure that we have attractive working environments for the students. The school boards and the legislature are going to have to ensure that the billions already going into the mix are actually being spent where they need to priority-wise. And it's clearly going to be the job of the legislature and the governor to find more creative solutions that are cost-effective as well, such as, you know, attracting people to become teachers in areas of need by repaying student loans, or allowing experts in certain fields that we need it to teach without having gone through the traditional teaching training system, or increasing the ability for students that want to go into skilled trades to spend time as apprentices during high school instead of being in a classroom. There's a lot of possibilities. I went to public schools. I've got four kids in public schools. We all know that a teacher, a good teacher, makes the biggest impact. And Michigan is searching for an answer to its low scores. Well-equipped, good teachers are going to be one of the biggest changes, or one of the improvements that we can make. That's also going to make the field more attractive. But the bottom line is, the governor's indicated clearly that education is a top priority of hers. I fully expect we're going to see a large in-depth discussion in Lansing about education this year.
That is John Selicky, CEO of the public relations firm Harbor Strategic. He's worked with Republican attorneys general in the governor's office and in the legislature. Thanks for joining us this week, John.
Thank you for having me.
And of course, Vicki Barnett is a former mayor of Farmington Hills and a former Democratic state legislator. Thanks, Vicki.
Thank you. It's been fun.